WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands. Welcome back to the WTF is Retail podcast. It has been a little while, hasn't it, Tom?
It's been a very long time.
But you're still here as my co-host.
I am, yeah. Episode number 3.
So no one replied to the job advert? You still got the job? So yeah, Tom's still here. And today we have a very special guest, Alex Summers. How are you doing, Alex?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. So as you can hear, we're in London. We've got the sirens in the background. So yeah, Alex is the UK head of sales at Wild. How's life in Wild?
It is great. It's exciting. It is very, everything is always fast paced, but it is, as a brand, really interesting to work in. I am passionate about sustainability, and so I love working with a refillable brand and single-use plastic free. So
awesome. And you were actually telling us before we started kind of recording this that you were like the 15th hire or something like this.
I can't remember what I was, but I think it was definitely under 20 people, and we had launched into retail 3 months before I joined. So,
and now how many? Well, I've seen how many people there are.
But we are at over 80, I think 85 now, but there are new joiners starting every week, so I just have lost track a little bit, but definitely around 85.
So it's an exciting time.
It is a very exciting time, constantly growing in new areas and also growing our retail team as well. I mean, it was just me
Thanks
and one other
you.
Person. Thanks to me
doing the
and
sales.
Many other people doing really great work.
Awesome. When you were first hired, were you head of sales as well, or did you progress?
So I joined as commercial manager, which I came over from being an account manager at Method Nikova. So it was a big jump for my career, and there's a lot of retailers that I'd never even spoken to before that I then started working with. Yeah. So very exciting, but it started off as a team of 2, and we're now a team of 10. So
amazing.
Yeah, good growth in the last 3 years.
Doing the right stuff.
Yeah.
So best place to start then is to take us right back to the beginning. Who are Wild, and what's your journey been like?
Yes, so Wild is a natural refillable bathroom brand. We started off with deodorant, and our CEO and CMO are both co-founders. There is Freddie Ward and Charlie. Freddie was one of the first joiners at HelloFresh and basically started from, I think, like sales exec or something to becoming CMO.
Really?
When it was like the big business that we know HelloFresh as.
Yeah.
And then Charlie's always worked in kind of D2C and agency. So they both knew that there was really exciting things in like D2C subscription, that kind of stuff, and wanted to start their own business. They are kind of passionate about sustainability, knew that that's something that we really needed more of in the bathroom space particularly. Mm. Loads of people are doing stuff in the kitchen previously, and so they thought that's a great place to start. And natural deodorant has taken off massively in the US in the past,
right,
like 6 years. So that's where they wanted to start the point and then grow from there.
Okay, cool. And what makes Wild so different to your traditional deodorants, for those who don't know about the sustainable deodorant world?
So 2 things, really. We're a natural deodorant, which means that we're aluminium free and we're powered by like sodium bicarbonate. There's loads of other things in there as well that attack bacteria to stop you from smelling.
Right.
And then there's the refillable concept. So natural deodorants have been around for quite a while, but there's been sort of some doubt around the efficacy previously, and it's really starting to build now that like you can get one that does work. And I think Wild sort of spearheaded that.
Right.
And then there's refillable side of it. So our refills are totally plastic free. They're made of bamboo pulp. So once you're done with it, you can recycle it, put it in your compost, and basically there's just no trace of that left over. And it just allows people to refill really conveniently versus take like a big container into the supermarket and fill it up.
That's very cool. Yeah, I've seen, we've had quite a few sustainable kind of brands on the podcast before, and a lot of brands say, you know, plastic free and stuff like this, but when you really look into it, it
kind of isn't, or you have to use certain processes, which the average person will do. But bamboo, sounds like a really easy way to kind of recycle it right and be sustainable.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the main thing that Wild wants to do is make it convenient and not mean that you have to add like five more steps into your personal care routine to be able to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I loved about the brand before even starting, is just like how easy it makes it to refill at home and keep single-use plastic totally out of your routine.
Cool. And as the head of sales, obviously you specialize in selling the product. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. What's the kind of standout challenge that you've experienced in your time at Wild when getting it in front of the consumer and into their bathrooms?
Yeah. So I think we have, from a retailer standpoint, we have really supportive partners, and everyone's actually gotten on board quite quickly. Been the product, how effective it is and how well it's done on D2C, and the work that we've done with influencers makes it a really easy, not super easy, it's still hard for my job, but we can get it into store. Once it's in there though, I think we probably underestimate, especially being in London and like the age that I am, you've got your bubble and you're like, everyone knows about Wild. But actually our like brand awareness versus a brand such as Mitchum is, you know, less than half. And so there's so many more people we could go after if more people actually know about us and understand what we do. So that's one of the biggest challenges, is how at shelf do you explain that whole story to somebody with just like one piece of packaging?
Yeah, it's difficult, right? And you were saying about influencers. Off the top of your head, who's the most famous advocate of Wild?
Oh, we've got a partnership at the moment with Stacey Solomon. I'd say that one's pretty big.
Okay.
And then in Germany, we have Pamela Reif, who is, I hope I pronounced her second name properly, but known as Pam.
That's all you need to say.
And she is huge in Germany, but I think she's pretty huge globally. She's got millions of followers.
And you're selling into, you're selling worldwide, or?
We sell worldwide. Our next biggest market is Germany.
Because of Pam.
We sell in DM there, which is kind of like the German Boots. And it's really, that's been like a really successful market for us versus just after the UK.
Cool. And as I kind of mentioned before, we've had lots of brands talking about sustainability. Mm-hmm. The average consumer, and actually a good point you made there about being in a bubble. The Dulwich bubble. Similar to me, I'm in a little bubble as well. Maybe outside that bubble, people aren't as aware of you know, being more eco-conscious and things like that. So is there any initiatives that Wild are doing specifically surrounding educating the customers and things like that?
Yeah, I think part of it is being a B Corp brand. There is awareness is increasing and understanding for what B Corp means, and the fact that we, you know, are putting planet and people at the same importance as profit. So I think that's like the first step that we do to educate and share. Our social media is a big part of where we educate consumers. So we have, I think it's 450,000 followers on Instagram now, which for a deodorant brand, which is something that obviously like gaining followers, it's not an interesting product before Wild started working in it and building that. And we've definitely got like the most followers out of any like deo boring personal care brand. So we can use that as a really great education platform. So that's sort of the best way that we can do it. And we do try and bring that into store as much as possible with sort of point of sale, shelf barkers, aisle fins, being able to discuss why we're the right choice for consumers. Because I think they really do want to, there's a lot of people that want to make that choice. They just need to understand what the best choice is.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm not incorrect, if I'm not wrong, you guys plant trees as well.
Yes, we work with a nonprofit called On a Mission, and they basically like calculate our carbon footprint and plant trees in different project areas to make sure that we offset all of that and a bit more. And they actually came in and did a lunch and learn the other week, and it's so interesting what they do. Like they work with really cool projects, and it's not just about, oh, you go somewhere, you plant a tree. Like it's they really bring the community into it, provide jobs, and make sure that they're not just doing stuff for kind of a greenwashing. Say, right. Yeah, we planted a tree. The nonprofit that we work with does a really good job of it. Mm. And it's a really sort of exciting thing to work with and know that as we grow, we'll plant more trees.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'd like to take a second to thank our season 3 sponsor, the Big Fat Knots Ecom Lunch, for all your ecom networking needs. You can find out more about their events and how to register on LinkedIn, the Big Fat Knots Ecom Lunch.
So we've heard you've launched a new body wash with Tesco's. How important is it in working with massive retailers for your sales strategy?
So for Wild, we really want to be a mass market, a household name brand. We don't want to be a niche startup that is just really cool and exciting, but people don't feel like they actually have access to it. So working with retailers like Tesco is incredibly important for us to get that like national coverage and for every consumer to feel it's something for them. So launching body wash with Tesco was really exciting. It's definitely been challenging because we did it really quickly to make sure that we could get the product on shelf. And that means that we're already making changes around packaging and things like that. So that's, I guess, partly the beauty of working at a company like Wild, that we can react really quickly, be really agile. But at the same time, it means sometimes we do things that then it's like, right, quick improvement. Let's do it now.
Have you launched with multiple fragrances with the body wash?
Yes, multiple colours for the refillable cases that we have, and then multiple fragrances as well. So we have a range of like 6 SKUs in Tesco for the body wash. All different colours and fragrances depending on what matches your bathroom and things like that.
Cool. And was body wash always on the roadmap for like the next products you guys wanted to release?
Yeah, I think it's ever since I joined Wild, it has been something that's been in the works. So the last 3 years, it was way more complicated to do than we initially thought, because putting a liquid in a plastic-free bottle is really hard. As you said, there's a lot of things that are plastic free, but then it's got like a thin plastic lining and stuff like that. It's really challenging to do it. So it took longer than we thought, but it's always been a big part of the roadmap because we know it's so challenging to do. Not many other people are going to do it. Like really big brands that are creating so much plastic, they're not going to do it because it's hard work. And so someone has to get there first. So that's been an important part of our strategy, especially, I mean, the amount of plastic in landfill that body wash creates is huge. I mean, there's more body wash used in the year than there is deodorant. So,
interesting. And the formulation of the body wash, did you have to work with like certain professionals to kind of, you know, formulate that one?
Yeah. So we use natural formulations, and then that's going into, you know, a completely different type of product versus deodorant. And it's really important for us that the efficacy is good. Like we don't want people to be making, like when they're getting an eco product, to then have to make a sacrifice on their experience, which is why the deodorant, I mean, in itself has taken loads of reformulations to get it better and better and better. So we're really excited about the formulation we have now, but I imagine there'll be updates until forever because we'll constantly be finding ways of improving it. The natural ingredients is really important to us across everything.
Okay. And from a sale, you know, heading up the sales, we're talking, you know, obviously you want to sell in different channels. We've just talked about things like Tesco. Yeah. Is the aim like 50-50 online and in kind of market physical stores, or what's the strategy with that?
Yeah, that is exactly it. Our D2C is like the lifeblood of what we do, and it's brought in, you know, a huge amount of loyal customers, and it's been a really exciting way to bring through limited editions in both cases and refills. But ultimately, there is a huge part of the population that don't want to buy their deodorant on subscription and don't want to buy it online. They want to just get it as part of their shop. Mm. So we really want to grow the brand to sort of at least 50-50 from a retail standpoint. So we make sure we have access to all of the customers that we should.
Yeah. And do you find that kind of subscription model, does that really work for you well? Like for the Dyad customers, do they do that?
Yeah. I mean, it got us to where we are and people right, okay. love doing it, and it does make life a lot easier. And I think, you know, if Freddie and Charlie were happy with having a £50 million business, like they could stop there and carry on with the D2C subscription basis. But obviously, I mean, they want to have like £100 million business and plus. So we keep going into those new channels because those are exciting places to grow. But the subscription in itself, like it is enough that you could have a sustainable business.
Yeah. Okay. And are you selling in any other channels like online marketplaces as well? Like things like Amazon or equivalents?
Yeah. So we sell in Amazon, and then we have a few pure players as well that we partner with, like Just My Look Fantastic, those kind of beauty online. The Amazon is a really, it's not something that actually goes through our retail because we format it similar to how we do our D2C.
Right, okay.
So it's ran through that side of the business. But it's a really interesting way to grow the business, and you have to kind of approach it a bit differently. By creating like a different format and concept. Like I know a lot of brands do it by having sort of different size products in Amazon, which isn't easy for us to do. So we tend to focus on kind of like bundle formats and things to differentiate from D2C.
Yeah, we had a beer brand called Northern Monk on the podcast, and Amazon was a big part of their kind of strategy. And she was telling us about how they kind of perceive Amazon customers as a different kind of customer base, and they have a completely different strategy to kind of attract them. So yeah, it's interesting that you are kind of doing similar things, obviously bundles as well and stuff like that. And do you have a way to measure, you know, if someone comes through Amazon as a customer and then if they then start buying directly from your website, do you have a way to kind of measure that? Or
we don't have a way of measuring exactly the customer's journey. We can make assumptions based off like looking at our sales growth or decline in other platforms. So it's, you know, if our Amazon sees 100k growth and our D2C sees the 100k decline, we can draw some assumptions, and we just can't like follow the customer exactly, because there's some really interesting ways of looking at data through like Kantar, where you have specific families that you see all the sales of, but that is all in the supermarkets and not in D2C. So then you kind of can't see the story of your D2C customer. So it's quite difficult to integrate all of them.
Yeah, for sure. And this is a good little time to flex. You know, if we want to talk about, is there any kind of recent sales numbers or statistics you want to show off?
Yeah, I mean, Wild has had an impressive journey. And I think in retail alone, when I started, we were doing less than £1 million sales in a year, and we now do like over £2 million a month. So it's, and that's in like a small section. Well, it's our sort of major retail. It doesn't even include like all of the cool things we can do through like independents, more smaller strategic accounts and stuff. And yeah, store wise we're up from being in Sainsbury's as a future brand, 300 stores, to now being like over 5,000. So it's, if you'd have asked me if we would get to that point when I first joined, I probably would have been like, I think that's more of a 10-year vision. So it's really exciting.
So around the office, is it safe to say you're a bit of a legend around the office?
I wouldn't say I was a bit of a legend, but I've had a few shout outs for it and stuff like that, but probably not like living legend as yet. But give me a couple of years and we'll get there.
Nice.
I mean, we touched base on it a little bit there with regards to your tech stack, but as an integration agency, we're always quite keen to understand behind the scenes what you've got. So what has helped you during your growth over these last few years?
Yeah, so one thing that I find quite useful, it's quite good for the business, especially people in the business who don't have a really good understanding of retail data, rate of sale, all that kind of stuff. We have a platform called Elm, which they automatically upload all of your sales data from the majority of major retailers and put it in a user-friendly way of looking at it through sort of bar charts, line graphs, etc. So it's quite easy for anyone to go in and be like, oh, we've had a good week of sales or not so good week of sales. We use Anaplan for a forecasting platform, which we got at the beginning of this year. It's really, I mean, it's something that I've used throughout my career in different companies. It's really good, but it's also really complicated to build because there's not just like one platform, you build your own. So that's definitely, it's been a challenge for us to get it to where we want it to be, but it's a really exciting challenge for financial forecasting, supply forecasting. And then we use Citrus for our online media spend at pretty much all of our major retailers as well, which is a good way of investing in your partners, but being able to track your spending really closely and like switch things on and off really quickly so you don't overspend.
And what's your e-commerce platform?
And we use Shopify for our D2C, which has been really good to build the website, especially because I mean we have like massive time periods in sort of Black Friday and things, and previously there was like suffering of the website crashing and stuff like that. And then they've built Shopify out to be fantastic for all of those times, and then also to have make the subscription really easy for people as well.
It's actually a good point. We haven't even put any questions in here about peak periods, but what is kind of like a typical peak period for you? What time of the year do you see a lot of sales?
Yeah, so for D2C, Black Friday is definitely the biggest time of year. We'll always put quite a lot of effort into the influencers that we work with, and then also creating like a new case design and fragrance, the aim being to bring in those customers that have maybe considered buying the product, but we've just not given them the right thing yet. That's massive for them. But then in retail, like summer is just way bigger for deodorant sales.
That makes sense.
So it's always a good period. I mean, we've just had our biggest month ever in July, which I only even realized this morning. I'm like, oh, that is the biggest month ever.
It was a sweaty July.
Yeah, exactly. So that's always a good time. And I find Veganuary is quite good as well, especially for a more eco brand.
Okay, that's interesting as well, yeah. And have you found, for example, bundles on Amazon sell really well around Christmas? Are people buying it, you know, as like a last minute present or?
Well, we actually have our previous to the last few months where we've sort of been growing a lot, our biggest sales week was the week before Christmas, which was the same actually across the whole deodorant category. So I think it is it's just a really great stocking filler. And Wild particularly is very giftable, and it's got a cool design and things like that. So we do see great sales in that time period. And we want to be able to do more gifting because I mean, for me, as like a more sustainable consumer, I've been given more reusable straws and beeswax cling film than I can actually ever use. So it's great to be able to add something else into the mix for the gifting.
Do you do your shipping from the UK as well, or do you also ship from Germany?
So we have, we do our shipping from the UK for the UK, and then we have a European 3PL to ship to our German retailers, our other international retailers, and our international consumers. We also have one in Australia too.
Is that a big market, Australia, for you all?
It's a new market for us. It's definitely got our fastest growth rate. So we are getting there, but we only really started at sort of the beginning of this year. And we've launched in retail in Priceline and Coles. If you know, it's kind of like Priceline, I'd say similar to that of Superdrug maybe, and Coles is like your Sainsbury's. So it's been going really well there and is growing.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Australia, one, it's hot. You know, a lot of sweaty people in Australia, and Wild's kind of got this cool vibe about Australians. They're a bit cool. Like for me, and maybe I'm making some stereotypes here, but I feel like pretty much all of Australia would like Wild. So take it from me, keep selling it.
Yeah, we will. I'll go down, I'll run down right now and say change the strategy.
No, all the money, all the budget, Australia.
Scrap the UK, we're moving.
It's too cold here.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't sell in Iceland. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. Well, we lost a bit of track there. is there any, I don't know why I'm looking here, but are there any specific challenges that Wild are currently facing, and how are you planning to kind of overcome them? You're talking about going into Australia, new markets like that. Is there any specific challenges around that and selling in these kind of places? Or
I think it is, so going into new markets is, again, we've got a great proven track record in the UK, which is really useful for sort of selling into consumers. We've also got a fantastic influencer marketing strategy that can just be replicated when we go into those new markets. Probably our biggest challenge is knowing exactly how it's going to work out, because you can either massively under forecast or massively over forecast. And so it's kind of trying to apply everything that's happened and have an accurate view of what's going to happen next. And there's, you know, been quite a few times probably where we've underestimated how fantastically it's going to perform and then not been ready for what comes. And you have to scrap around, and our operations team is incredible and just manage to somehow make it all happen. But there can sometimes be a lot of stress and late nights to get to that point.
Okay.
I'll take this question. So what's next for Wild? Any new product launches lined up? What can you expect in the coming years?
So we've got a few exciting new markets that we are hoping to launch in, which I can't give too many details about, but that's something that the business is putting a lot of work into now. And then from an NPD point of view, we've obviously launched body wash, as we said earlier, in Tesco. We want to get that product to sort of where our deodorant is from a point of view of like popularity, number of customers. So that's our next goal, is to roll that out, to continue to improve the product and continue to improve the proposition. And then just really like deodorant still has barely scratched the surface from a penetration point of view of the whole population. And I mean, I think it's a fact of, I can't remember the exact percentage, but like 57% of UK consumers are willing to try a natural deodorant but haven't yet. So it's getting it in those people's hands to give it a go.
Cool. And a little fun question, which surprisingly loads of people hate, so I don't know why I keep doing it. I always put people on the spot, and we have a really awkward moment at the end of this beautiful podcast where they're going, I don't know, Amazon or like Nike. So your favorite retail brand at the minute?
Trying to think of one that I genuinely put into my shop every week and really and love what they do. And I think Lucky Saint, particularly their new IPA, non-alcoholic IPA, is really good. The branding that they do has always been really cool. And I love how they like seeded in pubs beforehand to make you feel like you're having a pub treat at home. And then Emma Heal, who is the MD there, she did a lunch and learn, I think, when I first joined Wild, and I was like floored by her and thought she was fantastic. So that's one thing that has always stuck with me, and as a brand, I think, is doing really cool things.
I actually agree. I really like Lucky Saint as well.
Yeah,
awesome. That wasn't so difficult. You definitely didn't see that question before and planned it.
No.
100% off the top of the head. I had no
idea. I always have that answer in my head at any time, just in case somebody asks, because you don't want to get caught out.
How many times a week do you get asked that question?
Like daily, at least. My partner wakes up in the morning, it's just like, what's your favorite brand?
Remember. And then you crack a Lucky Saint and start the day.
Exactly.
If anyone listening wants to find out more about Wild, this disclaimer, this isn't going to be your main sales channel for customers. You might have guessed that already. But where can people find out more?
I think our Instagram, Wild Refill, is a great place to see like what the brand is about, and gives an indication of our kind of personality and our products. And then otherwise, just please go into any of our major retailers and grab a product, because it's always useful for me.
And remember to say at the till that you heard it from our podcast.
Say the till, heard it from this podcast, sent by Alex Summers.
That's make perfect. Sure they report it back to you.
Yes.
Add it to the sales figures.
Yeah. Let my CEO know.
Then we get the commission that we agreed on.
Yeah.
What did we agree, 2%?
I just think it was like 1%.
1%, was it? Yeah, you just halved me.
I don't know, I've not done the P&L yet.
So. You've undercut me there. Yeah. I'm not into that. All right, so finally, the little promotion bit at the end, which we do. This podcast is hosted by Not E-commerce, an integration agency for growing retail brands. You can find out more information about us at notedcommerce.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being an amazing guest. And see you next time.
Thanks so much, guys.